that I can think of that isn't fighting something right now. We're all in some kind of a battle, whether it's a sickness or a relationship issue or whatever it is. I really can't think of anybody that's not going through something. And we're all fighting our own battles. And I know some of you are going through some really hard things right now, if not probably the hardest thing that you've ever been through. You know, whether everybody's struggles look different. You know, I tell you that every week. What seems big to you might not seem big to me, or what seems big to me may not seem big to you. You know, maybe yours is just everyday frustration that things not working out the way you thought they would. But most of the people that I can think about right now are going through something major in their life. And it's affecting, you know, the way they think, the way they act. It just affects your whole life when you're going through something like that. And no matter what it is, if it's affecting your life, it's real to you. I told you last week that no matter how small it is or how big it is, if it's causing you to be fearful or angry or depressed or brokenhearted or feeling hopeless, you know, no matter what it is, then it's real for you. If it's affecting you, then it's real. It's a problem in your life. It's a battle in your life. And I also told you last week to, you know, don't let anybody belittle your problem. If it's affecting you and affecting your life, it don't matter what it is. It really is a battle for you. So don't let anybody tell you that that's just stupid, get over it, or that's unimportant, you shouldn't worry about that. If it's real to you, it is a real battle. And we have to face our battles, and we have to fight our battles in order to overcome them. So tonight, I want to talk about how we should fight our battles. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, we touched on this, these verses in Romans chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. It says, therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him, and if he thirsts, give him drink, for in doing so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. And what I really want to focus on is verse 21. It says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And I know those verses are talking about the way other people treat us, but we can apply that to, you'll see through the message that it don't just apply to the way other people do us or the way other people treat us, but that can also apply to many areas of our life. And reading those verses, you know, I believe many of us, we're fighting our battles, but a lot of times we're making things worse and not better. And we're fighting our battles, but we're not winning. And that just leads us, you know, when we fail at winning our battles, that just leads us further into our problems instead of out of them. And I think most of the time that's because we're fighting our battles our way instead of the way God tells us to. You know, we just read in verse 21, it says to overcome evil with good. And I don't think a lot of us in the middle of our storm focus on doing that. You know, it's hard to remember when you're right in the middle of something that I overcome evil with good. When we think of fighting, or I know this is the way I used to think, if I'm thinking about fighting a battle, the first thing you think about is doing harm to your enemy or destroying your enemy or, you know, getting even with your enemy or getting revenge on your enemy. But that's not what God's word says to do. You know, that's not what Jesus says. And I tell you all the time, it's not natural to be obedient to God. If we're not focused on God and seeking him every day, we go back to our own nature, which is not good. And I think a lot of times when we're fighting our battles, that's the way we wind up fighting them. So we have to go against our own nature and do the things that God says to do. We have to trust him and choose to be obedient when we're fighting our battles and do things God's way, even when everything in us wants to do the opposite of that. You know, like I said, it's just human nature to want to get even. It's human nature to want to fight back. And most times that just makes things even worse. But tonight I want to talk about the biggest weapon that we have in fighting our battles. And it's the the weapon that Jesus used to defeat sin, to defeat our enemy. The biggest weapon we have is love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, love never fails. You know, you couldn't ask for a better weapon than that. God's word says love never fails. Never. It don't say sometimes love wins or hopefully love will win. It says love never fails. And I think that's a pretty good promise. If we do things God's way out of love, then we will never fail. That's a really good promise. And if love never fails, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, I think we read this verse last week too. It says God is love. So you could put those two together and say God never fails. So if I do things God's way, he's not going to let me fail either. If we go back to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8, you know, it says love never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they will fail. And there's always going to be, you know, naysayers or troublemakers, or there's always going to be people who want to give you bad advice or, you know, prophesy bad things into your life when you're going through a problem. If you're going through, say you're going through a marriage problem, you know, a lot of people's answer is get a divorce. You know, just walk away from it. Leave it alone. You know, you're always going to have people around you trying to get you to do the wrong thing. And that's trying to prophesy into your life that this is what's going to happen if you don't do this, if you don't take this advice that I'm giving you. So make sure the advice that you're getting comes from a godly person. Or they'll tell you, well, if that was me, you know, this is what I would do. Those are prophecies. They're trying to speak things into your life that are wrong. And if you take advice like that and retaliate against things in an ungodly way, you will never get a good result. You'll only bring more harm to yourself and all the other people involved too. Those are the kind of people that just want you to picture the worst case scenario possible so you'll do something that you shouldn't. And if they're giving you that kind of advice, they're not trying to help you anyway. Most of the time, they just want a show. You know, they want to sit back and watch the fight. So be careful what kind of advice you take when you're going through a hard time, because it's not all good advice. And the very next line says, whether there be tongues, they will cease. You know, not very many people fight with their fists anymore. They just like to tear one another apart with their tongues. People like to slander one another, post negative things about each other on Facebook, and they just want to get the gossip started and then just sit back and see where it goes. You know, Proverbs speaks about that. He said there's people out there that they can't even sleep unless they have done their evil deed for the day. The world is full of people like that. So be careful who you're listening to, especially when you're going through a hard time. You know, our emotions get high. We're easy to, you know, manipulate into doing things. So we have to be slow to make decisions when we're going through things and make sure we're doing what God would have us to do in that situation and not just what people are trying to urge us to do. Like I said, you know, a lot of times they just want something to gossip about. And God plainly says that we shouldn't be part of that. I like this verse in Proverbs 26, or a couple of verses, 20 and 21. It's talking about gossip. It says, where no wood is, the fire goes out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. You know, all the arguing and the rumors and all that stuff will stop. As coals are to burning coals and wood is to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So as long as we're doing, like it's talking about there in verse 21, as long as we're contentious and we want to fight and we want to contend, then all that does is kindle more strife and make the fire even bigger. But like we read in verse 20, it says, where no wood is, the fire goes out. You know, if we're not retaliating, if we're not contending and trying to keep the fight going on and on and on, that fire will eventually die out and the gossip will stop. I like the way it puts it in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 15. It said, so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. He don't say go argue with them and prove you're right, or, you know, debate the matter and see who wins. It says in well-doing, like we just read in Romans a minute ago, you know, overcome evil with good. We'll never overcome evil by becoming evil ourselves. We have to use love. We have to do things God's way. That's the only thing that can conquer evil, is love. That's why, you know, the most famous verse in the world, John 3:16, you know, God loved the world. That's how he overcame it. He gave Jesus as our sacrifice, and he overcame evil. And that's our example, too. So when we're in a battle, when we're in a fight, we have to go into it with a mindset of God is on my side, and love will prevail. And that gets me to what I really want to talk about tonight. You know, like I said a while ago, not all our battles are against somebody. Some of us are battling finances, you know, some of us are battling health issues or the loss of a loved one. You know, it's different for everybody. And Satan likes to distract us no matter what your battle is and blind us to who the enemy really is. He is our real enemy. It's not the people we're arguing with. It's not the bank. It's not any of those things. In the end, our enemy is Satan himself. And Peter reminds us of that in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. It says, be sober and vigilant. You know, keep an eye on your faith. Stay close to God, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking who he may devour. He is our true enemy. He is our adversary. And so our enemy is not one another, it's him. And he will use other people. I mean, I'm not saying nobody don't ever do you wrong. He does work through other people to get to us. And he'll use whatever your circumstances are, you know, whatever that might be. Might be your car breaking down. It could be any number of things. But if we go into those things without knowing God's in it with us, then it rarely works out good. So he just uses whatever circumstances we're going through to distract you and get your focus off of God where it needs to be and start reacting in a way that you shouldn't. You know, there's absolutely nothing going on in your life that God isn't aware of. One of my favorite verses is Proverbs 15:3. It says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, you know, beholding the evil and the good. So no matter what anybody's done to you, no matter what you're going through, God knows all about it. Like Josh has been preaching on Sunday morning, you know, God knows. But people aren't doing that stuff in the corner that's hid from God. He sees what's going on, and he will help you through it. But he still wants you to cry out to him for the help. You know, ask him like a child asked his father for help. But the real enemy, Satan, he wants you to believe that God has forsaken you, and he didn't see what happened. He wants you to believe that God's not there to help you, and that you're on your own. And as long as he can get you to get your mind off of God and on your problems, he knows you're not a threat to him any longer, because you won't be producing fruit for God. You won't be serving God like you should be. And you won't be a witness, and you won't be sharing the gospel of Christ, because all your focus, all your energy, and you know, your faith just goes out the window. You're not doing anything for the kingdom of God if that's all you're doing is walking around trying to get even or trying to overcome your problems on your own. That's what we talked about last week. If you're consumed with your problems, then that's all the enemy needs, is to steal your purpose. Jesus talked a little bit about that in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5, in verse 22, I used to tie this to traffic a lot because I had a bad habit. Can you do that one in the NLT, please? And, you know, if I get aggravated in traffic, I'm going to call somebody an idiot. Oh, you idiot. And it plainly says, don't do that. Jesus said, but I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. And if you call someone an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you're in danger of the fires of hell. And what Jesus is saying there, he's not saying that if you call somebody an idiot, you're going to hell. If that was the case, I'm pretty sure most of us would be going to hell. But he is saying, you know, when things don't go your way, don't let your anger control you. You know, don't let your circumstances cause you to react in a way that's ungodly. You know, Paul says in Corinthians that, you know, don't give Satan the advantage. You know, we're aware of his devices. We're aware that sometimes things work against us just so we'll react in a way that, you know, we're not supposed to. We'll react in an ungodly way. So Jesus is saying, don't let your anger control you. You know, he's warning us. If you get to the point where you call somebody an idiot, you know, check yourself. You know, that's just a warning sign for us to show us that I'm not walking in the Spirit right now. You know, that didn't come from God. That's not a fruit of the Spirit. You've got to the point where your flesh is taking over and you're not producing the fruit of the Spirit that we should be. You know, that shows me that I've got my focus off of God, like we talked about last week, and now I'm back to being controlled by my old sin nature. You know, things like that, they don't condemn us, but they are good markers to show me, you know, if I'm not bearing fruit, good fruit, godly fruit, then I'm still bearing fruit. If I start doing negative things or ungodly things, that should get my attention, and I should, you know, get my focus back on God where it needs to be. And I believe that's why so many arguments today go on for so long and never get taken care of. Not that the issue at hand is that important, because most of the time it's not. We wind up arguing over stupid things that don't really matter. We just can't resist the urge to keep our mouth shut and not get in the last word. Or we can't resist the urge to speak what's on their mind. You know, the enemy will tell you, well, if you just tell them how it is, then you'll feel better. And the truth of that is, you don't. You know, once you do that, then you're like, I shouldn't have said that. I should have kept my mouth shut. You know, the Holy Spirit prompts us when we want to say those things. But sometimes, you know, we can't resist it, and we just got to put in our 2 cents worth, and we do it anyway. And it just makes matters worse. It don't ever make you feel better, you know, like the temptation he tries to get you to do it with. That's what James is talking about in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. We went over these a few weeks ago, too. And it says, and remember, when you are being tempted, don't say God has tempted me, because God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anybody else. Temptation comes from our own desires. You know, when I can't resist the urge to tell somebody what's on my mind, that's not God's idea. That's my idea. That's my pride kicking in, and I just want to tell somebody what's on my mind. And when we do that and we give into it, it says it entices us and it drags us away. And these desires give birth to sinful actions. That's when we start saying and doing things that we know we shouldn't do, but in the moment, we really don't care. We're just mad and we give into it. And it says, when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. You know, that don't mean you're going to die right there on the spot, but that is a quick way to end a relationship. That's a quick way to, you know, to bring death to a bunch of different situations. You know, if you quit your job just because you got mad, and you wake up the next morning and you're like, oh, I needed that job, you know. We can't make decisions when we're emotional. So when we don't resist the urge to respond when somebody says something mean or hurtful to us, most times what we respond back with, you know, like I said, that's not going to be what we should say or we should do. That's why he goes on to say in chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, he says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to get angry. I know it's really hard when somebody makes you mad. a lot of things just fly out of your mouth before you have time to think. But God tells us to, you know, make it a point to think before we speak. You know, don't let ourselves get mad so fast. In verse 20, it tells us why. Because the human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. You know, we can't produce the righteousness of God when we're given into our own desires. Like it said in verse 14 a minute ago, when we give into our own desires, that's what does entice us and drag us away from walking in the Spirit like God wants us to. And like I keep saying, not all of us are battling another person. You know, maybe it is your finances or your health or whatever it is. But I love the way that Paul puts it in Romans chapter 8. We'll get to that in a minute. If our love is a weapon and love never fails, I think it's a good idea to see what God's word says about the weapon. You know, how we can use love as our weapon. But before we go to Romans 8, I want to share this verse with you. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 4. Because our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So if I'm responding in a way that is carnal, and Paul's talking about love there, you know, he's saying our weapons ain't like the world is. You know, we don't post stuff on Facebook. We don't go out and slander people or spray paint their houses or whatever people are doing. If we respond in a way that's ungodly or carnal, then we're not responding in God's way. I think that's why he put it in there. There was a lot of contention in the church in Corinth, and he was telling them, you know, you shouldn't act like that. If you're going to call yourself godly, then settle these disputes in a godly manner. So that's a good verse to check yourself with. Are the weapons that I'm using, are they carnal, or are they godly, mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds? But like I said, if you're going through something that's, you know, it's not another person, you know, if it's health or the loss of a loved one or whatever your battle might be, a good reminder that God is always with us in those battles is Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. It talks about, you know, how nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. It don't matter what it is, and it covers everything. I want to read these verses to you. It says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? No, he's the one that told us, in this world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Those are straight out of Jesus' mouth. He said, you're not going to have a trouble-free life. Or if we're persecuted or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death. You know, we think about those things all the time in our finances. We get worried about what we're going to eat. What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? But it says none of those things can separate us from the love of Christ. As the scriptures say, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. You know, we've all got those. We don't know how this is going to work out, so I get so worried about this thing, that's all I'm going to focus on. Our worries about tomorrow and our fears for today. You know, Jesus has a whole chapter in Matthew chapter 6 is on our worries. He says, don't he love the sparrows more than he loves you? He gives us all kinds of illustrations of how much more he loves us than anything else he ever created. And not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So it don't matter what it is, whether it's somebody else or or different circumstances in our lives, as long as we keep our focus on God, we'll always have the weapon that we need to face whatever that is. And that is God's love. And he'll show you how to use it in that situation. You know, it says, if you're grieving, if you did lose a loved one, you know, it says in Psalm 34:18, that the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. So God's there for you in that. If it is financial, you know, God's word says that he will provide. Paul said, my God will provide all your needs through his riches in Christ Jesus. And in Psalm 37:25-26, this is King David. He said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. God will never forsake you. He'll never leave you hanging and, you know, watch you starve to death. If you belong to God, he will take care of you. That's why it says, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his seed is blessed. Our job is not to worry about, you know, am I going to make it or not? Our job is to do like it says in Matthew 6:33, to seek God first, above all else, and his righteousness, and all these other things God will take care of for us. You know, if you have health problems, Jesus is our healer, and he can give us strength to endure what we're going through. I know a lot of people, you know, if all we have is a worldly mindset, I know a lot of people that I love dearly, my family members, you know, I had one die from COVID. I've had others die from other reasons, and it's hard to watch your loved ones die. But if we think of things through God's standpoint, if they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are forever healed, and they'll never hurt again. And so it don't matter what you're facing, God will give you the strength and the comfort to get through it. So now we know what our weapon is, and I'd like to spend the rest of this time looking at how God's word describes it and how we can use it, how we can actually use our weapon in our everyday battles. And to do that, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's the famous chapter on love. And I think this is a good, if we break it down and look at it, it shows us how to deal with everyday situations that I think all of us deal with all the time. Right off the bat, it says love is patient and kind. You know, if I'm having a really bad day, am I still being patient and kind? You know, that's hard to do when you're having a bad day or when you're feeling really bad. But we can do it. You know, we quote it all the time. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the key to that is through Christ. You know, if I'm having a horrible day or if I just feel really bad, it's not my nature to be patient and kind. It's my nature to be grouchy and mean. But if I take it to Christ, he knows what kind of day I'm going through. And tell him, you know, before I start making these bad decisions and opening my mouth and saying things I wish I wouldn't have had, if I take it to Christ first, he will strengthen you. And he'll help you to deal with things without doing it in an ungodly way. Through Christ, I can still be slow to speak and slow to anger, even when I am having a bad day and things aren't working out. And I can still be patient and kind, but I have to choose to be. You know, God don't make that, he don't make that choice for us. We have to make that choice ourselves. But when we make that choice, the Bible says he is right there to help us do it. But it's my choice. I have to do it. Then it says love is not jealous. You know, I don't look at someone who doesn't have my problems and resent them for it. You know, sometimes jealousy, or from what I see, most of the time jealousy is not what somebody else has that makes us jealous. We look at what we're dealing with in our own lives and what's going on that, you know, we're not happy about. And we get jealous because they don't have to go through that. You know, they don't have to deal with what I'm dealing with. And it makes us jealous and resentful towards people. And they haven't done anything to us. So we got to be careful, you know, when we're going through hard times, not to get resentful towards people that are not going through a hard time themselves. And if we go on to verse 5, it says, love is not boastful or proud or rude. You know, no matter what somebody else is doing, I can't look at them and think that I'm better than that. You know, we don't ever have an excuse to be boastful or proud or rude to anybody. You know, I can't see myself as I'm better than them. I can't just start thinking that I'm better than anybody else. Jesus says that's just self-righteousness, and that just leads to more carnal thinking. That just leads to more sin. So if I catch myself in that mindset, you know, God's word says that's not love. Love does not do that. That's not love at all. Even Jesus himself didn't come to look down on us or think that he was better than us. You know, I'll read it to you almost every week in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, that God demonstrated his love, his kind of love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, he didn't come being boastful and proud or rude. He came humbly to show us his love, and that's what we have to do too, especially when people are being mean to us, or, you know, that's what sinners do. I told you before, you know, hunters hunt, fishermen fish, and sinners sin. You know, God wasn't surprised by it, and we shouldn't be either. So we have to choose beforehand when we get in those situations that even when they're being ugly, God don't want me to be ugly back. And next, it says, love doesn't demand its own way. You know, I know none of these things are easy to do. Matter of fact, they're really hard to do. But we can do these things. They are possible if I do them through Christ. There's no way I can do them on my own. But when I take them to Jesus first, then he gives us the strength. He gives us the fruit of the Spirit to do it with. That's where love comes from. It is a fruit of the Spirit. So is patience. So is kindness. So is long-suffering. You know, so is meekness. We don't have any of those things without Jesus. You know, when we do get bent out of shape and irritable, when we don't get our own way, like it says, love does not demand its own way. But a lot of times we do demand our own way. That's just human nature. But God's word says that's not how love works. You know, I said a minute ago that a lot of arguments just keep going on and on and on because each side has to get the last word. You know, no matter what you say, I got to put my 2 cents in. But if we enter into that with love, then we have to be the one we talked about earlier that doesn't have to get in the last word. We need to be the one to just let it go and just be satisfied that God saw everything, God knows everything, and that's enough. I trust him, and I trust that he's going to make it right for me. And he does. I see that in my life all the time. And we have to do like Jesus said too, and pray for our enemies and trust God that he'll do the work in them that needs done and not us. You know, it's not my job to change people or fix people. I should just take that to God and trust him with it. The next one, I think all of us have a hard time with too. I know I did for a long time. In verse 6, it says, love keeps no record of wrong. Or that's in verse 5 too. My bad. But that's a hard one. You know, it's hard for us to forget what somebody has done to us and actually forgive them and treat them like they never did it. That is really hard to do. And keep our mouth shut. That's usually our first instinct when somebody does do us wrong is to tell somebody else what they did. You know, Josh said Sunday, if you're preaching on something that you haven't been through yourself, then you need to check yourself. And that is very true. Because we don't know how we're going to react until we've been through something ourselves. So when somebody asks me for advice on something that I've never been through, I don't tell them, oh, this is what I would do. You know, if I know what God's word says about it, I'll tell them, well, this is what God's word says we should do. And this chapter, if we look at it that way in these verses, it helps us to be able to handle just about any situation. You know, we don't fight back. We don't try to get even. We let God do that for us. So if you haven't been through it yourself, you don't know how you're going to react. You know, I had a pretty tough week this week with somebody did some things to me that I really didn't deserve. And like Josh said Sunday too, it's always, or most of the time, it's somebody that you're close to or somebody that you went above and beyond to try to help. But I had a choice, you know. Do I go around and tell everybody what they did to me and slander their name, or just be satisfied that, you know, like I said a while ago, God saw everything. He knows what happened. It's not my job to make other people look bad. I trust God to just let him handle it. You know, that's the hard part. But keeping my hands out of it, that's the hard part, because we want to get back at the other person, and that's not what we're supposed to do. You know, that was hard to do, but through Christ, you know, I took it to Christ, and I prayed about it, and I did like he said and prayed for my enemy, and I was able to keep my mouth shut, and I was able to pray for them and actually mean it and not just, you know, saying a fake prayer so I could say I did it. I was able to pray and hope that they actually do get better. You know, what good does it do for us to make somebody else look bad? You know, when we do that, that not only harms them more and pushes them further away from Christ, but it ruins our witness if we call ourselves a Christian. You know, we put ourselves in God's place and become the judge. And then we just wind up causing more damage. You know, we just read in James a while ago that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And that's never going to bring sinners or lost people to Jesus. You know, it's not our job to condemn them. Our job is to draw them to him, you know, not drive them away from him. And that's what it does when we do that to people. With love as our weapon, our goal is not getting even with anybody. Our goal should be that they come to know Jesus and that they're delivered from their sin too, just like I was. You know, I can't forget that it wasn't that long ago. That's where I was. You know, I was the one lying to people. I was the one doing people wrong. It's not me. There's nothing good in me. And the only thing that made the change in me was the love of Christ. He forgave me no matter. He didn't hold my sins against me. He didn't make me pay for them. It's a free gift. And if he freely forgives us, we have to freely forgive other people too. And when you do that and you love that other person, even when they're doing you wrong, they'll remember that. And there'll come a time in their life when they don't want to be like that anymore. And you'll be the person they approach to find out how to change. And you can tell them, you know, just like I tell people, I didn't change. Jesus changed me. You know, all I did was come to him, and he did all the work. So just like Jesus accepts us as we are, we have to accept other people right where they are too. And that gives us, you know, the victory over our real enemy, Satan, when he loses the battle for their soul. And they become a new creature in Christ. I believe that's what he's talking about in these next two verses, in verses 6 and 7. He says, love does not rejoice about injustice. You know, when we see somebody else doing something wrong, to rejoice in injustice would be to go post it on Facebook and, you know, shout it from the rooftops and tell everybody else what they did. But that's not what love does. It says, but love rejoices whenever the truth wins out. So if I can pray for that person and continue to help that person and lead them to Christ, then they'll learn the truth about Christ, and he will make the changes in them that they need to make. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures to every circumstance. And I think that last part there, verse 7, is for all the people that are fighting battles that are not with other people. You know, we started out and said, love never fails. You know, love never gives up. Love endures through every circumstance. So when it feels like God doesn't care, you know, if you are sick or if you're struggling financially or if you have lost a loved one, when it feels like God doesn't care, He does care. That's what His Word says. When it seems like God isn't there, you know, He is. We just read a while ago in Romans that nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's just what the enemy wants you to think, so that you'll lose hope. And Jesus Christ is our hope. He says in Hebrews 13:5, I've told you before, it's one of my favorite verses. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So what He's saying there is, don't let your circumstances or whatever you're going through distract you or blind you. Just be content where you are. You know, it may be in the middle of suffering, but you can be content knowing that God is right there with you, and God won't leave you, and He's not going to forsake you. And, you know, I tell you all the time, if you're going through something, take it to God and pray about it, but also share your battles. You know, that's what the church family is for. That's what community is for. Let people talk with you and help you through your problems. Don't try to take care of them all by yourself. That's how we get angry, because we get frustrated, because by ourselves we can't accomplish a whole lot. But if we get other people involved in our problems, you know, we'll see that there is help. There is a way out of this, and you won't be so frustrated and angry and depressed. You'll have the hope that we keep talking about. So no matter what our battle is, our weapon should be love. You know, our love for one another, God's love for us, and our love for God. And we should have love for lost people, even the ones that are doing us bad. And that, you know, that's hard sometimes to see, but that's what God did for us. So our weapon is Jesus Christ Himself. You know, He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And He also said, apart from Me, you can do nothing. So if you're fighting losing battles, or if you're fighting battles that never seem to end, you know, just step back and take a look at how am I fighting this battle? You know, and if I'm not doing it the way God tells us that we should, then it's not going to end well. You know, I can tell you that from experience in my own life. And if we're not willing to give up our right to get even with other people, then it's probably never going to end. It's just going to keep going back and forth like a ping pong game. You know, I retaliate against you, you retaliate against me, and we just keep building more and more hate against each other. At some point, we have to be the one to step up and be godly and say, okay, I'm done with the argument. I'm done fighting. I don't care about it anymore. I'm going to hand it over to God and let Him take care of it for me. Because if you don't, if neither side's willing to give it up, then the fight will never end. You know, I see a lot of people in families that hadn't talked in 30 years. They can't even remember why. But neither one of them want to admit any wrong or say I'm sorry or forgive me or anything like that. And because they're not willing to do what God asked them to do, it not only affects them. You know, so you got a husband and wife in a family over here and a husband and wife in the same family over here. Not only do the two men not talk, then those wives have missed out on years that they could have had as friends or the children. You know, they're not allowed to play together because you ain't playing with his boy. You know, it don't just affect us when we're selfish and give in to our own desires and have to have the last word. It affects our whole family on both sides of it. So we have to be willing to give up our right to be right and just give it to God. And that's what He calls us to do in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. And He really does. I think a lot of times when we're angry, It's not that we don't trust God. It's not that we don't believe God. I think a lot of times we just don't want to, because we've got, you know, so far away from the fruit of the Spirit that our nature starts coming out of us, and we're not even aware of it. So if you see that kind of fruit coming out of yourself, you know, remind yourself, this is not godly. This is not the way I should be reacting. And I tell you every week, or try to remember too, that we can't do any of those things if you hadn't took the first step of surrendering your life to Christ. So if you're watching online and you've never given your heart to Christ, I always try to give you an opportunity to do that. And like I say almost every week, you don't have to be in a church to get saved. You don't have to be at an altar. It's a matter of your heart. You know, you can get saved right there where you're at. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I always try to remind you, if you have made that decision in your heart and you want to surrender your life to Christ, it'll accept you right then. But it says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Reach out and tell somebody, you know, I just gave my life to Christ. And then you can be sure that you have salvation. God's word is true. If you do those things, you will be saved. And I always try to tell you, too, that it don't matter what your past is. It don't matter what you've done. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, the Bible says we're all sinners. We all came short of the glory of God. So there's not a person on earth that deserves to be saved. It's a free gift from God. So it don't matter what your past is. If you call on God, you will be saved. And once you do that, the Holy Spirit will give you the power to do what you're not able to do without him. You know, when we're fighting our battles God's way, it's a really good feeling to have that fruit of the Spirit to give you the strength and the guidance and the help that you need to fight your battles God's way. And it's a really good feeling at the end of the day to know that going through that thing, I was obedient to God, you know, whatever that circumstance was. And we have a peace of knowing that we've been obedient to God and that he is right there with us and he'll never forsake us. And he will get us through it. So whatever your battle is, bring it to God. And do it his way. And let love win. You know, we read earlier, love never fails. If you want to win the battle, if you want to finally get it behind you, do it through love. Love never fails. And another thing that should help you is you know, never forget, whether you're a parent and you have kids or you're just an adult that's around kids, kids are watching us all the time. And however we're dealing with our problems, that's how they're going to deal with their problems too. You know, they'll become what they see. And they're always watching us. We should be their examples. And like James says, be slow to speak, slow to get angry, you know, slow to wrath. We should also be slow enough to think, you know, these kids are watching me. You know, I don't want to teach them how to gossip. I don't want to teach them how to talk bad about other people. I want to be a good example for them, because they're the future of the church. They're the future of God's kingdom. You know, we're supposed to be training them up in the way that they should go. And we'll never do that if we're not going the way we're supposed to go ourselves. So that's my message this week. That's what God put on my heart. And I hope that helps somebody. Like I said, most of the time I'm preaching from personal experience. I did have a rough week. Had to do some things that I wasn't really comfortable with. But I had to do it. But I tried to do them in love and not be ugly about them. And I don't think I would have been able to do that without the help of Jesus Christ and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But I hope that helps somebody. And thank you for tuning in online, and thank you all again for being here in person. Let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Father, thank you again for this message. I just pray that you would help us all, Lord, to keep us in our hearts, Lord, and remember that the way we react and the things that we say, they do matter, God. If we're supposed to be ambassadors and witnesses and examples for you, I pray that you help us, Lord, to be slow to speak and slow to anger, so that our actions and our words will glorify you and lead others to you, Lord, instead of chasing them away from you. And I just pray that you'd give us all the strength, Lord, to do that. Lord, I just lift up again all the families of those that have lost loved ones. I just pray that you'd comfort them. And I just pray again for all the ones that are at home sick. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to recover quickly so that they can get back in here. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And we just give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.